Translation. O my Lord, because of lusty desires from the very beginning of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished. Please repeat. It's quite a list, isn't it? Oh, my Lord, because of lusty desires from the very beginning of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kamam Vridrogam, materialistic life means that one is afflicted by a formidable disease called lusty desire. Liberation means freedom from lusty desires, because it is only due to such desires that one must accept repeated birth and death. As long as one's lusty desires are unfulfilled, one must take birth after birth to fulfill them. Because of material desires, therefore, one performs various types of activities and receives various types of bodies with which to try to fulfill desires that are never satisfied. The only remedy is to take to devotional service, which begins when one is free from all material desires. Anyabhilashita shunyam. Anyabhilashita means material desire, and shunyam means free from. The spirit soul has spiritual activities and spiritual desires. As described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mama Janmani Janmanishwari Bhavatad Bhaktir. Unalloyed devotion to the service of the Lord is the only spiritual desire. To fulfill this spiritual desire, however, freedom from material desire. Did someone say something? I missed a line there. Thank you. To fulfill this spiritual desire, however, one must be free from all material desires. Desirelessness means freedom from material desires. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami as anyabhilashita sunyam. As soon as one has material desires, one loses his spiritual identity. Then all the paraphernalia of one's life, including one's senses, body, religion, patience, and intelligence, are deviated from one's original Krishna consciousness. As soon as one has material desires, one cannot properly use his senses, intelligence, mind, and so on for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mayavadi philosophers want to become impersonal, senseless, and mindless, but that is not possible. The living entity must be living, always existing with desires, ambitions, and so on. These should be purified, however, so that one can desire spiritually and be spiritually ambitious without material contamination. In every living entity, these propensities exist because he is a living entity. When materially contaminated, however, one is put into the hands of material misery. Janma Mrityu Vyadi. Famous verse to remind ourselves of. If one wants to stop repeated birth and death, one must take to the devotional service of the Lord. Sarvapadi Binir Muktam Tat Parena Rishikena Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate. These are the bread and butter verses, isn't it? In that sense of the devotees. Bhakti or devotional service means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. Usually side effects are the things you want to worry about, isn't it? One is freed from all material designations. And simply by being employed in the service of the Lord, one's senses are purified. Indriyani manaprana atma dharmo dhatir mati hrishrish tejas mriti satyam yasya nasyanti janmana. O my Lord, because of lusty desire, from the very beginning of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished. So, here, the 10th chapter, Prahlad, the best amongst among exalted devotees. And Prahlad here is responding to Narasimhadev, who has come and torn Hiranyakashipu to pieces and took his intestines out. That's always a famous scene in our dramas. Radha Mohan Prabhu's, he always plays Hiranyakashipu, his intestines coming out. So, and following that, Narasimhadev offered a benediction, any benediction, to Prahlad. Isn't it? Whatever you want. If somebody does something to you, for you, in your favor, in helping you, then automatically there's a sense of that. It would be nice to give some reciprocation or express my appreciation like that. Some people are very good at these things. You know, sometimes when you go, you have a guest or you go to someone as a guest or go to do a program, shortly after you get a little text saying, oh, thank you very much. It's even more impressive when you get a card from somebody, isn't it? Just not on your birthday, but when maybe you've done something and somebody offers you a little written card that just says, that was very kind of you. Thank you very much for that 25 quid. Whatever. A sign of appreciation. A reciprocation, isn't it? Devotees, in their loving dealings, isn't it? What's the verse for that from Isha Upanishad? Go on. Dadati pratigrinati goyam akyati. Very good. All right. 10 out of 10. Would you like to translate it? Very good. Did everyone get that? Everyone knows that verse, I'm sure. Sadvidam priti lakshanam. The priti laksha, the symptoms of priti, of love. Not love itself, the very symptom of love. Of course, you could say the symptom is love as well. Well, not necessarily. The symptoms may be there, but it may all be politics, diplomacy, trickery. But this priti lakshana, the symptoms of love, dadati, to give, isn't it? Priti grinati, to receive things, to give gifts, to give things and receive things. The gift. Study that in university. So many scholars written huge dissertations on the gift. Like when the Chinese delegation came to Britain. When the Chinese delegation came to Britain, what did they give to Britain? I'll give you a clue. It was a gift. Pandav, yes, very good, Yogi. At least someone's reading the news in the Hare Krishna temple from the IT department. So, they gave a gift of pandas, panda bears. I don't pronounce that properly. My wife always criticizes me. Panda. Is it panda? Not a panda. A panda's from the temple. The panda bear. Pandavas. Panda, yeah. So they gave up. And the panda is, it's really the symbol of Chinese culture, isn't it? It's one of the great symbols of China. The panda bear. And they're so beautiful. So they gave them a gift. Now, a gift means so many things, doesn't it? We become obliged by gifts also. So, but anyway, as an expression of love, gifts are given. Things are given and things are received. You know, on special days, on our birthday, we expect to get something, isn't it? And then maybe we also give. And the Guru Kula used to always, on your birthday, you have to serve. One day of the year, the boys just could just get some love, attention, and gifts and some things from the West that you don't get in India. So, no, real happiness is serving. Desire. So, today you'll serve prasad, you'll give everyone maha cake. And when it's all finished, you will get your maha cake. The auspicious birthday party. So, giving dadati pradigmyati and receiving. Guyam akhyati prichati. Conferring with one another intimately. Guyam. The level of, what would you say, confidentiality between close friends. I love you. I love you too. I have some problems. How can I help? You have some problems? Yeah, can you help me with them? Like that. The conversation goes on. A progressive and intimate conversation between lovers. Bhunkti bhujayate. And of course, the great gift. The one which perhaps, aside from flowers, which inspires or communicates the love as a mediation of love. Sometimes we say that, the dipa, the lamp, the agrabati, these things are forms and symbols of, apart from just lighting up an altar which has already got spotlights and fluorescent lights and the whole wall of light on it, it's the symbol, the form through which it facilitates the expression of love to the deity of Krishna. So, great, sometimes they say only flowers will do, isn't it? Interflora, that's their whole campaign. But food, and especially prasad, you know, when offered, not only just Prabhu, I bought you a Mangalarti sweet. That's wonderful. But you know, when somebody cooks with affection and then you eat that food, then the love, you know, this is how Yasoda, Mai, she engages with Krishna. She just wants to feed him very substantially. And the best cook, Radharani, she should cook to give him long, good health, all the things like that. Even when he was holding Giriraj Govardhan Hill on his little finger, she was saying, "You look so, you're becoming so withdrawn. You look like you're under too much strain. You're not eating properly." And she was trying to feed him as he was holding Govardhan Hill. "Take some prasad." She's feeling he's dependent on me. And her love is expressed through feeding. So through receiving and giving prasad, sometimes it may be more difficult to receive than it is to give. It can be embarrassing. We may want to shy away or run away from receiving the love and attention of other devotees. But receiving love is also important. So these are the lakshanam of priti. Nrisimhadev, in response to Prahlad, offered him whatever, anything, any benediction, in response to his life of unswaying devotion. However, Prahlad, he didn't want anything. He said that our relationship is of master and servant. It's of master and servant. And that's fine. And that was it. He said, this is not a devotee. This is a banik, is it? Do you remember that? Huh? What was that last line of that verse? It's a famous one. You hear it quoted often. Nasa bhakta sabai manik. Is that right? Nasa, this is not a devotee. This is a business person. That I would do all these things and live in this way throughout my life for you and in service of you. And that I should want something in return. That's not a devotee. That's a business exchange. That's just a business person. So Prahlad, he desisted from such benediction. And here, and this chapter, let's see, we're on verse 8. Yes, here it said that he considered these to be impediments on the path of devotion. Jai Sisi Radha Gokulananda. If you just look at the development in these verses, he considered these to be antarayataya. These are impediments. These are actually impediments in the path of devotion. It would draw me into a situation of thinking of being rewarded for things. And then he expresses his fear of the material kameshu, this desire to enjoy materially, to have things. He expresses his fear of these things. And mamukshush tam upashrita. He said, my thing is to be liberated from all these things. I don't want these things. I want to be liberated from these things. And then in text 3, he expresses it as this. Samsara bij. The very bijam, the seed from which the whole samsara manifests is this kama or desire. And it exists within the heart of a person as the hridaya granthi, as a binding knot. So, he refuses it. Then in text 4, if you're really kind, you shouldn't induce with these unbeneficial things. It's not the standard of pure devotion. And there's that nasa britya savaivanik. This is not for a devotee. This is for the business community who are not devotees. And then, interestingly, in text 5, he then goes on to state that the servant who desires profits from the master is not a pure devotee. And the master who stands to gain by bestowing benedictions upon the disciple is also not of pure motive or a pure devotee. So the one who's desiring benedictions and the one who's offering the benedictions, both are considered to be not in this category of persons, not in the interest of Prahlad Maharaj. They're not, certainly not exemplary role models. So Prahlad insists that that our relationship is of service, and that's it. And then this verse. And in this verse, Indriyani Manah Prana Atma Dharmo Driti Mati. You look at these lists of qualities. Well, first there's the instruments of our existence, our resources in a sense, Indriya Mana Prana. Our life, our mind and our senses. These things are they're to be utilized by important resources to us. Atma dharmo dhritir mati. The very body, sometimes the word atma, self, is used to refer to the body. Dharmo dhriti mati. And one's dharma, the principles by which one lives, the high ethics, the high religious principles, those things which are daryate iti dharma, those things which sustain us in well-being, whether it's our duty, whether it's our practices, our principles, our ethics, our religious, spiritual behavior, you know, that which sustains us, dhriti, sometimes determination, here, also patience. Now, these are virtues. So the resources that we're born with that can serve our purposes, the means by which our purposes may be served, and the qualities through which embraced will facilitate the accomplishment of our objective. So the qualities spoken of here are patience. Of course, mati comes back to intelligence. Hri, shyness, a certain modest behavior in a person. Shri, opulence, whatever wealth we may have. Teja, our strength, our vigor, our memory, smriti, and satyam, truthfulness. All of these things, yasya nasyanti janmana, they are literally demolished by desire. They're demolished in serving their constitutional purpose, the things which they exist to serve, that purpose is demolished. These things all become utilities of desire, isn't it? In every sense, they become indriyani param indriyano manobuddhir asya distanam uchite. Iter vimoha yat yesha. In the indriya, in the mana, in the buddhi, these are all residential places of desire. These things then all exist to serve desire. The body, one's dharma, becomes all of that by which I will attain the desired results, my desired results, patience. I'll even wait for it, no matter how long, etc., etc. So, the purpose and utility of these resources, qualities, and means, their constitutional purpose is all devoured by kama, or desire, isn't it? In the Gita, where Krishna, he says to Arjuna, Sriyan Svadharma Viguna, that the best thing for you, Arjuna, will to be fixed up in your specific dharma. In that case, referring to his social and religious responsibilities and practices. Sriyan Svadharma Viguna, Para Dharma Svanustita. To do what's the rights and responsibilities of another is not the path that one should tread. What is appropriate, prescribed for the individual is meant for them. To do what's the prescription of others, to take the medicines the doctors prescribe for everybody else who came in the day, is not going to be of any benefit. Well, it's maybe some benefit, but there'll be a lot of side effects. So, to remain in one's dharma, this is Krishna's point to Arjuna. But then Arjuna retorts back to Krishna, isn't it? That, atakini priyukto yam papams charati purushaha. Baladeva niyojita. Kena, is it? In whichever way, atakini priyukto yam papam charity. By which way, how is it that a person, you're saying be fixed in dharma, but by what is it that a person is dissuaded or compromised in their dharma? Papam, and is moved, that which is not one's dharma, not only towards the being inactive about one's dharma, but driven to pap, that which is against dharma. What, how is one driven to these things? Anikam apivarsneya baladeva niyojita. As if by force, even though not desiring, one is driven to engage in these things. And Krishna's response is, kamayesha krodesha rajagun samudbhava. That it's just simply desire. Desire is the problem. Desire is the samsara beads, the very cause of samsara, the very purpose of creation. Daryati jagat. The living entities are holding up the whole creation by their kama beat, their desire. So all yogis and rishis and spiritual people who come to this point of realization, they then aspire to become automatically desireless. To become desireless. Like in Buddhism, when Buddha said that he went out one day and he had never been outside the palace before. And when he went out with the charioteer, he saw for the first time an old person. And he was taken aback because he said his father had really kind of tried to keep him in his home and not that he should become debauched and all the rest of it. So he saw old age for the first time and he was quite traumatized by it. Oh my goodness. And then he also saw death, disease and death in other people. And after seeing these things, then he saw a shramana. He saw a sadhu figure, a wandering mendicant. And so he began thinking a lot. And so he tried so many things, but anyway, when he came to his enlightenment, it said, at least according to the Tipitaka of the Buddhists, the written teachings about him, that then in his enlightenment he realized that life in its entirety is dukkha. It's misery. It's all misery from top to bottom. It's miserable. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Everything's misery. And then, this is the four noble principles of Buddhism. One, it's all dukkha. Two, that everything, the whole cause of the dukkha, Trishna. It's all the miseries are arisen from desire. And Nirodh, there is a way out of all of this. That's the third one, Nirodh. And the fourth, Marg. And it's a path. There is a pathway to go. A pathway to go. So the Buddhist aspiration and goal in life is to become free in entirety and in absolute sense from desire. To be finished with it. Completely. This is all, it's been the, you'll see this in all the philosophical, most of the philosophical, the ones that are about renouncing the material world, traditions of India. Even in Western philosophy, if you read like Arthur Schopenhauer, he referred to this desire as the will to live. The incessant, continued, intense desiring. And he concluded that this is what the Buddhists and the Hindus and all these people have been ranting on about for centuries. But they all got it wrong. Because the Hindus said Brahman, the Buddhists said Nirvana. But it's actually, when you become freed from desire, it's nothing. So I just thought maybe that's just the English word for all those other things. It's nothing, he used. There's nothing there. You just become free from desire, it's finished then. It's nothing. And that's the goal. So he wasn't opposed to suicide because if used properly. So anyway, like that. Now, Prabhupada quotes Rupa Goswami, Anyabilasita sunnam ginakarmadhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutamam. Anyabilas sita sunnam. Sunnam means nothing, zero. Isn't it in Hindi when you're counting or dialing the phone, they say ek, do, sunna, 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 whatever, etc., etc. Zero. It's nothing. That the desires, anyabilasita, anya, other desires. As for other desires, they must all come to the point of zero. But however, desirelessness is not our business for sure, because we are always praying for things, isn't it, in the morning program. He's saying anyabilas, we are saying, in the morning, Ayabilas, isn't it? The Tulsi prayers, what's the verse for that? Mora Ayabilas, Bilas Kunje Diovas. I'm praying, my only desire, Mora Ayabilas, Bilas Kunje Diovas, that I will be a resident, I will attain residence in your holy residence, in your holy place. Bilas kunji diovas, in the places of your pastimes. And with these eyes, I will see you. Also, now is Kartik Mas, so every morning, the Dhammadrastakam is recited. Baram deva moksham va, mokshavadim va, na chanyam hrinet, tam vareshad apiha. And then, idam te vapur nata gopala balam, sadame manasya virastam kim anyai. So the prayer is stating that Baram Deva, I don't want, in English it's the boons, I don't want boons. I don't want any benedictions. Baram Deva moksham va. I don't want any specific benedictions whatsoever. Mokshavadim va. Not even the highest liberation of Vaikuntha. Nachanyam vrineham vareshadapiha. But there is something I do desire. So desirelessness is not our interest, like all the others. There is desire. Idam te vapur nata gopala balam. Idam te manasya virastam kimanyai. I have the desire that the beautiful face of the boy, young boy Gopal will always be forever manifested in my heart and mind. Outside of that, nothing else. So, anyabilasita means sure, free from lokik, paralokik, desires for materialism, desires for the heaven, desires for mystic cities, etc., etc., etc. Krishna is saying in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Salokya shasti samipya sarupye katamashnute, diyamanam nagrinanti binamat sevanajana. Krishna is saying, I am trying to give my devotees salokya, shasti, samipya, sarupye katam, all the five forms of liberation. I'm ready to diyamanam, take it. But they're nagrinanti. They're saying, no, I don't want it. I don't want any of these things, like Prahlad Maharaj. Binamat seva. Outside of your service, I don't want anything. Simply your service finished. This is devotional service. Pure devotion, uttama bhakti. Where one is free from all other aspirations. Even the aspiration for liberation. This point is presented very clearly by Rupa Goswami. Free from the desire for liberation also. And the point is raised by Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And I'll finish on this point because I'm rambling on now. The time's going on. That he says, Jiva Goswami, some of these liberations are not antagonistic to devotion. You know, to be in the same place of God. Salokya Shasti. What's Shasti? Opulence. You know, you can do good things with opulence. It's in the service of Vishnu, in the service of Ram, and whatever. Opulence is what? Sarupya, to have a spiritual form. Except for the Sayujja, these forms of liberation, they're not antagonistic to devotion. But he expresses that there are two forms of these things. Sukhaishwarotara and Prem Sevotara. When Sukhaishwarotara, when the desire for these forms of liberation has arisen out of the desire for happiness, and power or opulence. When I want these things, so because of the power and happiness and privilege that comes with them, he said that's not very useful. That's not useful. Sukhaishwar uttara. But premsivutara, when they are simply the very things that we are engaging with, for the service of the Supreme Lord, then there's no harm. They're not desiring that. Desiring those things is not harmful to devotion. It's fine. But then they go a little further. And they comment. However, because the Govinda Bhaktas' hearts and minds are so overwhelmed with love of Sri Govinda, they're mad with love for Sri Govinda, that even, never mind liberation, Sukhaishwarotara, Premsevotara, even the mercy of Narayan is of no interest to them. They have no interest even in the grace and the kindness and the blessing of Narayan, the Govinda Bhaktas. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, one little lila that's mentioned which exemplifies this quality is when in the Ras Lila, when Radharani leaves the Ras Lila, then Krishna leaves the Ras Lila, then all the gopis are running everywhere looking for Krishna. And as they get closer and closer to him, he doesn't want to be discovered because he's looking for Radharani. Because no matter how many others are there, it's just not the same. So he's looking in pursuit of Radha. So as the other gopis get closer and closer and closer, then he just takes a disguise on and appears in four chaturbhuj, in a four-handed form before them, and kind of say, "Oh, can I help you?" You know, and they pray, "Namo Narayana Deva, Karaha Prasad." They pray, "Oh Narayan." Now they do ask for prasad, "Karaha Prasad." "Krishna Sangha Deha Mura Guchahu Vishad." Please direct us to Krishna. Direct us to the association of Krishna. And thus our sad feelings of heart will be dispelled. Will be dispelled. So, Rupa Goswami makes this point. That, sure, no desire to be desireless materially. And the lower, higher realms, to be desireless for mukti, moksha, or liberation also is not a good thing. But yet still there's some forms of moksha which are not antagonistic to devotion. But anyway, besides all this, the Govinda Bhaktas, they are solely and wholly interested in only the service of Krishna. And therefore Prabhupada quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here. "Mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhaktir ahoiti kitvai." In life after life, I only want your devotion. So in this, and indirectly the statement is made, well, I don't mind not being liberated. It's not the issue. It's not the point. Mama janmani janmani, in lifetime after lifetime, I only want to serve. And if you just think of the point, and to finish on this note, because the whole business is love, kriti sadhya bhavat sadhya bhavasa sadhanabhida, the whole purpose of sadhana bhakti is sadhya bhav. It's to become a lover of Krishna. It's that the sprout of devotion in sadhana will become love. It will become love. It's the sum and substance of sadhana bhakti. Nothing, that's the objective of it. If you think in a very simple sense, if you approach the object of your devotion and you want something, or you want to be liberated from everything, including them, by their kripa, it's totally against the way of love. It's totally in opposition of love. So the principle of bhakti and sadhana bhakti is, the aim is love. And therefore, in a very simple way, these desiring things of this world or to be free of it, these are in opposition to love. And so therefore, though we desire the things, it's the pratikul, the things which are in opposition to love, that are anyabhilasita sunnam, we must become jnana karma dhyanavritam, we must become free of. So, to conclude, Nrisimhadev offers Prahlad benedictions. Prahlad says, this is now, it's an impediment. He even says to Nrisimhadev, which is not a gentle form of Krishna, you know, it's not good you offer these things. They're impediments. And this desirousness is the whole cause of the problem. And through that, everything will be ruined entirely. And that's text 9. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.